He was in this movie, I think, where women, he was on a planet where women were the rulers. And the men were just like sex toys. And he was one of the sex toys. Wow. Until, of course, he taught them what was what, you know.
And what was that?
You know, what was what?
It's time for another episode of Charbroiled Chats.
So apparently dogs sniff good smells with their left nostril.
What? How would they even know that?
They normally start sniffing with their right nostril, and then they keep it there. They keep smelling with the right nostril if the smell could signal danger. But then they'll shift the left side for something pleasant, like food or a...
So another dog's butt is which nostril?
Right, right. So when he's got his nose up in the dog's butt...
Is it the right or the left?
Is it the right or left? Is it a female dog?
Oh my God. But how do they know that? How would you even know that?
Because some academic painted themselves into the corner.
Yeah.
To study dog nostrils.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, you know, Walt, do you still have a dog? You do, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next time you go out with your
dog.
Bring him in. Watch
that.
Because my dogs are labs, and their sense of smell is incredible. And they, you know, if you really watch them, they do kind of, you know, work both sides and sniff in and sniff out and blow out. And
right nostril is danger, but left nostril is pleasurable?
Something pleasant, yep.
Wow, I have to watch that.
Yeah. Jeez.
I have a people one.
But see,
oh, wait.
The only time I see them sniffing anything is when it is something disgusting. And so I don't really want to watch that, you know?
Well, it's disgusting to you, Greg.
Yes, it is.
I have an animal one. I use this on Fishing with Rick, too, already. But sharks are older than dinosaurs.
Yes, I didn't know
Yeah,
that
sounds familiar.
But is that not true, are you saying?
No, it is. Apparently it is true that when their first sharks arrived, the only animals on land were millipedes, centipedes, and spiders.
Oh, gross.
No cockroaches?
No, apparently not. Sharks are older than Mount Everest. Sharks are older than trees.
Do you think they've found shark-like fossils up on Mount Everest? Because, like, as Mount Everest grew, maybe there's a shark fossil up there. Is that how they know that? No. Probably not. See, now that could be a factoid. Did you know that they have found shark fossils on the top of Mount Everest? In fact, I like that. I'm going to spread that rumor.
Let's say that for true.
Yeah.
And so they did a little carbon dating on that?
Yeah. Also, humans are more closely related to salmon than salmon are to sharks.
Okay, give me more on that.
Because salmon come from, I don't know. I don't know the reason.
Humans and salmon are so much newer than sharks. Sharks are so far back that the DNA
It
doesn't even relate to anything.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's pre-dinosaur, so.
Yeah, because birds are related to dinosaurs, right? Closely related to dinosaurs.
I saw something when I was reading that about there are bird-like dinosaurs, and then there are dinosaurs. I didn't go any farther than that.
Yeah.
I suppose I should have.
See, you don't have any reason to criticize me then, do you?
No, not anymore.
No.
So the next podcast should be Factoids with Backup.
Right. Yes.
Actual facts.
Actual.
Now, then they're not factoids.
One thing I was wondering about this is, did we have to have, like, the source of the factoid? And for this next one, I do have the source.
Uh-oh.
It's from the American Public Power Association.
So even though you don't know the background, we can look it up.
If you'd like. Squirrels are the most common cause of power outages.
I can attest to that.
Really?
I can't.
That's funny.
Because there are times when we've lost, we have underground power lines. And squirrels and other rodent-like mice, they'll go into the things that house all the wires because they might be warm or something. And they go, ning, 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 they gnaw them.
Oh.
And then we'll lose power. And they'll come out and say, yep, so, yeah, your wires have been severed by small teeth.
Oh, because I thought it would be that they climbed, you know, how they get into trees and they climb on the wires and that maybe they found, like, fried squirrels all over
power lines
or something.
That's probably true, too.
No, I'm sure yours is the right one.
I don't know.
Mine is maybe
the visual is good on yours, though.
It is. Yeah, you see a fried squirrel
hanging by his little finger.
My brother
was doing some work on my parents' garage a couple of weeks ago, and you know, my parents' garage, I don't even know, whatever. I have no idea when it was cleaned out. But anyway, he was in there and he found like this desiccated rat. It was so disgusting. And he has a morbid fear of rats. So he just like threw it on the lawn. So while I was, you know, picking up all the debris and stuff to throw out, there's this, the rat is still there. Like a week later, I'm like, he couldn't even throw out this rat? Anyway, I don't know.
Can I tell a story like that too? Just because I have one?
Sure.
So sure. you know the cages you put around tomato plants, you know, in pots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So we had some in our barn that were upside down, so the spikes were facing up.
Right? Oh no!
And I went in the barn one day, and there was a mouse that was impaled on top of one of those spikes, and it had been there for a while. We think it must have dropped from the rafters up in the barn, yeah. and we kept trying to decide, was it intentional?
Right.
You know, was it suicide or was it pushed?
Was his heart broken or yeah. You know, he couldn't find his little nest? Yeah.
Well, here's a factoid related to that. Buffalo has a very tall Art Deco, gorgeous city hall. And I don't know how many stories it is. And it has like this little kind of thing that juts out from it that has a flagpole on it. And a guy jumped from the top of City Hall and got impaled on the flagpole.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah, this I think was in the 70s because I remember it happening. And I saw a picture of it. It was disgusting.
Was he all right?
Yeah, he's fine. Okay. He's fine. He survived. Yeah.
Oh, he did?
No.
Oh, no. He just has digestive problems. Other than that,
he's still up there. He lives up there now.
He's a flagpole sitter. Well, the mouse, though, when you think, how could a mouse even reach the velocity required to?
Yeah, because they're so light.
Yeah, I think there's more to that story, Bailey.
Oh, so you think it was pushed?
It was thrown.
I don't know, but something. There's got to be more to it.
Do you have a really mean cat out there?
Well, it could, yeah.
Rob Lowe has been in a series on TV in every year since 1999.
Yeah, I believe that. Okay.
Huh. And I haven't seen one.
I know. That's what I.
I know he was. Was he on West Wing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What else was he on?
I don't know. See, that's
Parks
surprising.
And Rec. Parks and Rec. He was on. Oh yeah. Huh. Yeah, he was in that. And let my voice drop right there because I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. You know, those other Rob Lowe.
The Pacific Ocean covers more area than all of the Earth's land put together.
Well, I mean, how much of the Earth's surface does the ocean make up anyway? You know, like, it's like, isn't it 70% of it or something?
Yeah, water makes up something like that.
Yeah.
So you're trying to make the sound obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why would you even bring that up? Really?
Not bringing your A game here.
Well, now that we're talking about the ocean, how about that recent movie about the loneliest whale? Did you see that?
No. What's that?
So there's a whale that's
on Mount Everest.
Impaled on Mount Everest.
Impaled on. How did it drop on the mountain? Actually, I have a related fact.
Did you know that there was a rainstorm once and it rained whales?
but what's the scoop with the
lonely whale?
Well, apparently it's lived its entire life in complete solitude because it calls out at a frequency that's unrecognized by other whales.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's some, you know, I think it's 52 hertz. So its calls are forever unanswered by any of its kind because they don't recognize it.
Wow.
And they discovered this whale all alone and they knew that it never was visited by anybody?
Well, apparently they were listening to whale calls and frequencies, some scientists were, and then they heard this one call that they had never heard before.
Hmm.
And they, yeah, so there's a documentary on it right now.
That's really
called The Loneliest Whale. Yeah.
Oh, sad.
Hmm. Isn't it sad?
It is.
Bad.
So do you think when the whale swims by another whale, they don't like wave to each other or anything?
They just,
it's calling as loud as it can. It sees the whale, other whales in the distance.
There's that guy. Don't talk to him.
It's barking. Well, why is it barking?
Oh my God.
Well, did you know that from 1912 to 1948, there was competitive art in the Olympics? This is in honor of the Olympics going on right now. Competitive art, sculpture, painting, and architecture.
Wow.
I had never heard that before.
No.
What were the years again, Grace?
1912 to 1948.
Jeepers.
Competitive art.
So it took them 50 years to figure out architecture is not a sport.
Yeah. Or maybe they figured that they couldn't show it on television. So
they couldn't make any money off it.
Exactly.
That's really it.
Did they give medals?
They must have. Right?
Yeah.
But when you think about it, like, what if they kept doing it now, up to now, you know? And so you'd have, like, Jeff Koons in there with, like, a giant puppy dog. And you'd have, you know,
Damien Hirst with, like, his sliced up
pigs and such. Wow. And that would be quite interesting.
So you say.
So I say. So you'd say
have
I.
You'd have your non-sweating pig.
That was from the Smithsonian, by the way.
Last December, China installed more car charging stations than there are in the U.S.
Than there are car charging
our
stations?
Cars?
Or cars?
More. China installed more charging stations than we have.
Oh, and I see. In 1 year's time.
In 1 month.
Oh, in one month.
So what do they know? We'll see how that works out for them.
And I'm noodling that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they went on a big binge of building movie theaters, you know, a decade or so ago, and they just...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were building like 100 a day or something. It was crazy.
Really? How come? Because their movie industry was booming?
Yeah, because they wanted to have their own movies and encourage people to go. And
well, they did. I mean, over the past, I don't know, X number of years, they've invested a lot more in film everywhere.
Entertainment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the worldwide box office numbers now are a lot of Chinese films.
Yes, and people have to pay attention to that when they're making them now if they want them to play there.
Right.
Or make money there.
The fourth largest grossing film last week was White Snake 2, The Tribulation of Green Snake.
In China?
Worldwide.
Oh.
It's a Chinese film.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The Tribulations of Green Snake. What's that about?
I don't know.
It's got to be a martial arts film.
One would hope.
Or am I judging?
But I've been watching more of those now because you can find them on like FilmRise and, you know, some of those odd little streaming services.
Uh-huh.
So I watched a Bruce Lee one the other day. It was great. And John Saxon was in it. There's a factoid. John Saxon was in a martial arts movie with Bruce Lee.
Right.
Who knew?
Who's John Saxon?
Oh, God. He's this old actor. I mean, I'm sure he's passed, but he was like almost unnaturally handsome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you remember him, Wally?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was like so handsome. You thought that like maybe someone plasticked him up. I don't know.
Yeah. That he couldn't be a good actor because he was too handsome.
Yeah, yeah. He was in, what was he in? Geez, I can't even remember.
I'm looking him up right now.
Okay. You'll recognize
him. Oh,
him.
Sure, yeah. I know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was in this movie, I think, where women, he was on a planet where women were the rulers. And the men were just like sex toys. And he was one of the sex toys.
Uh-huh.
Until, of course, he taught them what was what, you know.
And what was that?
You know, what was what?
Oh, we should have had drinks for this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't think it could be any better with drinks.
Here's another thing.
The Apollo 11 astronauts. This was really interesting to me that it was on NPR. But in 2012, before they went up into space, they signed like hundreds and hundreds of autographs. because they couldn't, their lives couldn't be insured because it would have been astronomical to insure them. So they signed all these autographs so that if something happened to them, their families could be provided for by selling these autographs.
Hmm.
Wow.
But that was weird. Like, this poor guy, like, apparently in the 3 days, maybe they keep him in isolation or something right. like that before they left or whatever. That's what they were doing, signing all these things.
I'm kind of as mystified by that as the impaled mouse.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it.
I have a picture. I'll send it to you.
You have a picture of the poor mouse?
You're damn right I do.
Oh, my God. See, to me, that's like, you know, Luis tried to take a picture once of this dead bunny we saw in my parents' street, and I told him that was serial killer stuff, and he got really mad at me. But, isn't taking pictures of dead stuff kind of serial killer stuff?
Well, no? I think if you kill it.
Oh, take pictures of it.
Correct. Right.
You kill it and you kill it and you pose it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you off the hook.
a Pixar movie, The Mummified Mouse and the Lone Whale.
Jeez. There you go. Another screenplay, Walt.
Yep. I've got to still talk about my Moby Dick screenplay. It's not getting any traction.
Do you actually have one?
No, but I presented the idea on 3 different podcasts and it never goes anywhere.
Oh, I wonder why. That's what you think. You think it's never gone anywhere, but someone has taken it and is running with it.
Someone's already stolen it. Yeah. Which weighs more, all the ants in the world or all the people in the world?
Oh, all the ants, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Got to be. Because there's probably a billion ants in your backyard.
Yeah, but they're tiny.
Yeah, but think of it. If there's ever a billion ants in every backyard on your street.
Okay.
Do you not know the answer?
I think we're wrong.
People weigh more.
Really?
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Wildlife presenter Chris Peckham on the BBC said if we were to weigh all the ants in the world, they would weigh as much as all the people. But then they checked up on that. And that might have been true like 2,000 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But now there's just way too many people.
Yeah, but how do you know just how many ants there are if they all live underground? And, you know, I'm gonna push on that one.
10,000 trillion.
Another theoretical corner.
10,000 trillion.
10,000 trillion?
Yeah. Weighing an average of 4 milligrams.
Huh.
Their total weight comes to 40 billion kilograms. 7.2 billion humans combined weight of 332 billion kilograms. So it's like not even close. It's 8 times.
Huh. Well, that's I don't like that factoid then.
You wanted it to be the ants.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I only have one more on my list. And this is one that always ticks me off as the mom of, you know, as an adoptive mom. People always say Ted Bundy was adopted. And he was not adopted.
Oh, wow.
No. And I do know the background on that. His mother was very young when she had him, so they pretended she was his sister. And his grandmother was his mother. And he didn't find that out until later, which is the same thing that happened to Jack Nicholson, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it always
kind of explains a lot, though.
Well, yeah. See, the reality of it does explain a lot. Yeah. I mean, good God.
I actually knew someone who thought that. I went to college with someone who thought his mom was his sister for a long time.
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the
let's not talk about
her.
A recipe for dysfunction.
That's messed up.
All right, I've got one. A fact about the Windy City. Do we know how that name was coined? Any clue?
I thought it was because people talk, like the politicians talked so much or something like that.
Grace, you're so smart.
Was that it?
Yes, it has nothing to do with the weather. During the 19th century journalists criticized the city's elite as being full of hot air.
I think that might have been in that book, The Devil in the White City, you know, that was about the World's Fair or whatever it was. Yeah, I think that might be where I learned that.
That's a good one.
The book or the fact book?
Yeah, the book's good.
Yeah, super good. Oh, crow.
Okay, I have 2 left. They're my favorite ones.
Oh.
The decisive battle of the Revolutionary War was fought between which 2 countries?
France and Germany.
What did you say?
I said France and Germany.
Well, that's okay.
Because you didn't say whose Revolutionary War.
Yeah, American Revolutionary War.
Okay.
The French and German Revolutionary War was between French and German. France and German.
Okay.
Okay.
France and the U.S. then?
Wait, read that to me again, Walt.
The decisive battle of the American Revolutionary War was fought by two countries. What were those countries? So the Battle of the Chesapeake.
The Brits.
Yeah.
And the Spanish.
Mm-mm.
Is this a trick question because we weren't really the country yet, so it was Britain versus Britain?
No, that's good thought, though. No.
Yeah.
No, the British and the French.
Oh, okay.
The
Well, that was obvious, too, but I didn't want to say it because I thought it was too obvious.
Well,
and I don't know anything about history.
So you said France and Germany.
Yeah.
Because it was too obvious that it was France. And the British fleet and the French fleet battled. And the battle, the French won, prevented the Royal Navy from reinforcing or evacuating the besieged British troops at Yorktown, Virginia. The French were able to achieve control of the sea lanes against the British. This was turned out to be the most decisive battle in the war because it meant that they couldn't evacuate the British and they were trapped.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
And why is that one of your favorites?
Because you never think of any battles except American-British battles in the American Revolutionary War. Another thing is I never think about
the Revolutionary War. That's probably my issue.
No, because you're thinking how hot it is in August. It's one of the few things you learned in earth science
that I retained from 12 years of school.
Another thing, I don't have a factoid, but the French had an enormous effect on the Revolutionary War. They've minimized their, what they did, but it had a huge effect. And the Spanish had a huge part in it because their battles and their blockades and so on opened up the entire, Florida West. And I don't know the exact details, but the French and the Spanish were a huge reason why the Americans won the Revolution.
Yeah, because everyone hated the Brits, right?
Right.
Right. I wasn't too far off when I said Spain.
Yeah.
I bet if you look more deeply in it, you'll find that I was right, that it was France and Germany. I think you better go back to your history books, Walt.
Yeah.
Well, Grace, if you go onto Wikipedia, you can rewrite that
I know,
section.
I should put it in there. The decisive battle of what battle was That's it, Walt? Right.
Battle of the Chesapeake.
Yeah, see, if I say it enough times, it'll become true.
Oh, I have one more that didn't count.
Oh.
A clock that is on a table 2 inches higher than another clock will record seconds that are measurably longer.
Because it's higher.
It's farther away from the gravity of the Earth's center. Even 2 inches, they can measure the difference in time.
Wow. That's got to have all kinds of effects. Doesn't it? About for things that we don't even realize and maybe are meaningful. What are those things, Walt? You don't know. You don't know.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't have a clue.
That's probably one of the primary principles of physics or something in it, and it dictates everything that we experience every day in turn.
Right.
I don't know. Sorry, Bailey. What were you going to say?
No, it's okay.
Sorry, Boodles. What were you going to say?
I'm never going to live that one down.
No, that's a good one.
We knew Boomer. We didn't know Boodles.
Yeah, he still calls me Boomer. The time thing. Well, Rachel and I, we work out together, my daughter and I, and we each have a timer. We'll do it over FaceTime. And so we each have a timer and we start it at the same time. We put our finger down, we go 3, 2, 1, and we can see each other start it. And yet they're never synced up or they change. Hers will start a little sooner than mine. And throughout the workout, then all of a sudden mine's a little bit ahead of her timer. And why does that happen? You see what I mean?
Maybe her internet is slower than yours?
No.
No?
You're sweating on it? Or?
I don't know, but why aren't we totally synced up? We started at the same time. It's the same exact timer. but maybe because we're not, sitting next to each other.
What timers are these? A phone timer? Or...
It's an app.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were like watching, like doing a video together or something.
Right. Right.
No,
we just we have an app. It's a timer, and we press it at the same exact time. It's always on.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you start doing some videos on Netflix, some exercise videos, there is a thing that they have now where you can start it at the same. Two people can start it at exactly the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have watch parties.
Yeah.
There are exercise videos on Netflix.
I think there are some. Aren't there?
I know there are on YouTube, but I didn't know they're on Netflix.
I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe that's another thing that I just don't know.
I'm
finding out a lot of things that I don't know on this.
Okay, I have one more. My favorite one.
Oh.
True or false? A typical cloud weighs as much as a blue whale.
How much
is
a
typical?
A typical, like a fluffy white cumulus summer cloud.
Because I was just reading somewhere that clouds can reach like up to 1 million pounds or something like that.
Because they're full of rain and...
Yeah. A typical one, though?
Yeah.
Again, is this a trick question?
No.
How much does a blue whale weigh?
Yeah, how much does a blue whale weigh?
I don't know, but that was cited somewhere, and then somebody did the math, and it turns out that a typical cumulus cloud is actually... weighs as much as 2 blue whales.
2 blue whales. Yeah. So shouldn't you have asked us that?
That was a typical cumulus cloud.
Yeah, we might have gotten it right if we had known it was 2 whales.
A cumulus cloud has approximately 1/4 gram of water for every cubic meter, but they're gigantic.
Yeah.
We don't realize, typically they're, a kilometer across... same height. So a cube, that's a kilometer.
Look, I don't know anything about kilometers. If you're not speaking in miles.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you lived in Toronto.
Yeah.
Because I'm an American.
An American?
I'm an American.
Anyway, 2 million tons of water. It seems, a light and fluffy thing like that wouldn't weigh that much. But if you compress it down, I guess it's not that big a deal.
So if it fell out of the sky and hit the ground, it would be...
It would hurt. It would hurt if it hit the ground.
I saved that till the end because I thought it was like a kicker, but it's just going nowhere.
Yeah, you thought that was the button. It ain't.
Of course. Of course a cloud weighs as much as 2 whales.
Yeah. We should have ended with the dog sniffing.
Yes, I know.
Well, we can in editing.
I should have ended with Kim Wasabi.
Oh yeah, that would definitely get people to come back. Are we stopping the recording?
Let's stop recording.
Because my battery's about to die on my phone.
Kim Wasabi, wow.
Another episode of Charbroiled Chats comes to a close. But rest assured, whatever you would like to talk about, we are listening. So go ahead. Tweet us at CharbroilC or email us at charbroilchats@gmail.com. Of course, we'd love it if you'd head over to iTunes or YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts and write a review of Charbroiled Chats. And please, subscribe, like, follow, comment, and most of all, tell all your friends about Charbroiled Chats. See you next time!